Hello, and welcome to Ox Talk in Lockdown. My name is Simon. As you may know, we normally record our weekly service at the offices of the Oxfordshire Association for the Blind in Oxford, and mail out the recordings to subscribers. At present, this is not possible. So while we remain in lockdown, volunteers will be recording news items at their homes and posting them to Ox Talk's website. oxtalk.org.uk. Today's edition has been prepared by me. I've selected the stories from the Oxford Mail and I'll be reading all of them. I hope you find them interesting and useful. Oxford City Council's support service for the coronavirus crisis helped nearly 400 residents last week. From Monday, April 6th, to Sunday, April the 12th, the council team helped 375 people with emergency needs like food parcels and health problems, from prescription deliveries to tackling loneliness, and has helped 800 request for support overall. The top reasons for calls were 191 requests for urgent supplies, 176 needed picking up shopping, 44 from people feeling lonely or needing a friendly call. The contact centre refers people to the locality response hubs the council has set up for the crisis. They also put people in touch with volunteers who can collect shopping and prescriptions and refer callers to voluntary groups who arrange daily contact calls to tackle loneliness. Councillor Marie Tidball said, "The hubs and volunteers are doing fantastic work getting the right support out to people. We are actively contacting those we know may need extra help to make sure we don't miss anyone. I'm very proud of the fantastic teams we have who are doing all they can to support people in the community. If you need assistance or are concerned about someone else in your community who might need help, please do get in touch with us. We all need to be looking out for each other at this time." Last week's support delivered included helping a deaf resident to get online. Video calling was essential for him as he communicates using sign language, but he told the team that he was struggling to get online. The locality response hub staff delivered him a device to get online, using prepared message cards to explain who they were and to check if any other support was needed. Residents needing support can fill out the form online at oxford.gov.uk/community-assistance or call the contact centre on 01865 249 811. A pub and restaurant forced to close because of the coronavirus lockdown has reopened its doors as a community shop and takeaway and is making free deliveries to customers. The Black Boy in Headington, Oxford, reopened earlier this year under new management after a four-month refurbishment. The old High Street pub had attracted rave reviews for its good food and acclaimed range of beers, wine list and cocktails, and was gearing up for a packed diary of weddings and social events, but, along with other pubs, closed its doors 3 weeks ago. Keen to keep the pub at the heart of the community, however, owners Samantha and Simon Stonehouse have reopened its doors and converted the bar into a store, selling food and essentials, stocking items difficult to find elsewhere. As well as helping the community, the business is also a lifeline to the companies supplying the Black Boy and the couple's other business, Lamb Catering. Mrs. Stonehouse said, "We have turned the front of the pub into a community shop, selling fresh produce from the Black Boy's suppliers. We have dairy products, meat, vegetables and everything you need. We even have loo roll and bread flour, which people have struggled to find elsewhere. Being a pub, They also sell a wide range of beers, wine and soft drinks, as well as vegetable, fruit and dairy boxes, and now plan to stock the Oxford Mail, keeping customers in touch with local news and keeping them entertained. She said, "It's great for locals, but we're also making deliveries to people who can't get to the shops or who are self-isolating." And she said business was booming, with up to 40 people coming in each day and 20 to 30 deliveries a day to homes within an approximate 20-mile radius. She said, "People have been enjoying the experience and it seems to be breaking up the daily grind. One lady yesterday did her big weekly shop here and spent £140. We have welcomed people who hadn't been in since the refurb. When they come in, we have a joke and a laugh. We have had some lovely thank you cards and emails, and while we don't have the buying power of the likes of Tesco, we are keeping our prices as competitive as possible, and our portions are generous." She added, "We are being very strict on social distancing, covering products and making all deliveries in a refrigerated van. We are leaving all deliveries on doorsteps after ringing the doorbell twice and watching from a safe distance to see them being collected." She said deliveries were also being ordered for local people by families living elsewhere in the country. She added, "People want to make sure their parents are well looked after." Chef Johnny Cooper is preparing choices from an online menu for takeaways. Pick up only. The pub's curious name may be a reference to King Charles II, nicknamed Black Boy by his mother, Henrietta Maria of France, because of his dark hair and complexion. The Black Boy's top 12 items are beef braising steak, vegetable boxes, milk, toilet roll, eggs, pasta, strong bread flour, porridge oats, minced beef, bread, butter, free range, whole chickens. For delivery details, email info@lambcatering.co.uk. An assistance dog is helping an autistic teenager and his family with the current lockdown. Charity Dogs for Good provides highly trained dogs to over 50 families in the UK, such as the Sayer family in Carterton. Caddy, a 9-year-old yellow Labrador, is a specially trained autism assistance dog and supports Janet and Kevin Sayer's 16-year-old son Joel, who has autism. Joel also has ADHD, speech, language and sensory impairment, and a sleep disorder. He was diagnosed with autism when he was 7 years old. His school, Carterton Community College, is closed, so he is at home with his mum, who has a kidney disease and asthma, so is self-isolating. Mr. Sayer is an aircraft engineer with British Airways and is therefore a key worker. Joel is currently very anxious and finds the coronavirus situation difficult to understand, as his normal routine has been disrupted. He is worried in case people get too close to him, but Mrs. Sayer has managed to persuade him to walk Caddy locally with her. To de-stress, Joel is having lots of cuddles with Caddy. Mrs. Sayer said, "Joel's had to cope with an awful lot of changes, and he's been pacing up and down far more than usual. But he'd be doing this even more without Caddy. He'd also be very bored without Caddy, as he's been doing lots of activities with him, which benefits both Caddy and Joel. They play ball in the garden and other games, which stimulates Caddy, but also provides a great positive distraction to Joel, keeping him calm and providing a focus and routine each day, as well as just making him smile. Caddy's presence is keeping us all calmer and reducing our stress levels at this difficult time. And in turn, that's really helping me to give the best support I can to Joel." Peter Gorbing, chief executive of Dogs for Good, added, "As Joel and Caddy's story illustrates, people who have a dog in their household can really benefit from maintaining some kind of routine that their dogs crave. For example, dogs tend to remind us pretty forcefully when it is time for them to eat. They have a rhythm to their day that can help us keep some kind of structure in our daily lives. And of course, they need to go out for walks. For many families we're working with, dogs play a really crucial role in helping to reduce anxieties and give a positive focus to help give some structure and routine. Dogs for Good's National Training Centre is situated at the Francis Hay Centre in Banbury. Thousands of blind and visually impaired people in Oxfordshire should be included on the government's list of those most at risk from coronavirus, a charity says. NHS digital data shows that 2,360 people in Oxfordshire were registered as being blind or partially sighted in March 2017, the latest figures available. Of those, 1,300 were recorded as being blind or severely sight impaired. The government recently produced a list of 1.5 million people at higher risk of serious illness if they contract COVID-19. Supermarkets, pharmacies and other businesses are working to provide those included on the list with deliveries of essential items. Across the South East, 43,900 people were registered as blind or partially sighted in March 2017. A Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs spokesman said, "We are working quickly to support people who do not fall into the category of being clinically vulnerable, but still need help getting essentials." .org.uk. Rumours that a popular farmers market in Oxfordshire will go ahead this week despite the worsening coronavirus outbreak were confirmed by organisers. The Abingdon-based event that is normally visited by hundreds of residents will host a reduced list of traders that will only sell essential food and drinks. There are, however, strict rules for this week's market that will take place on Friday from 8:30 a.m. Organisers requested potential customers to abide by their strict rules put in place to ensure everybody's safety. All customers are asked to observe social distancing to ensure that they stay at least 2 metres away from others, to touch only what they are buying, to buy only what they need, and to use contactless payment. If groupings do form, they will be dispersed immediately, and if the situation becomes uncontrollable, the event will close. People considered vulnerable are urged to stay at home, and those with a cough or a temperature are asked not to attend the farmers' market. A day centre has transformed its vital services to help rough sleepers and other vulnerable people in Oxford during the coronavirus lockdown. The Porch, which usually runs a cafe from its East Oxford hub, is now offering a mobile and takeaway service to provide more than 100 meals each day, as well as essential items to those in need. Director John Fitzpatrick said, "Almost overnight, the majority of services either closed or, due to staff working from home, could not deliver a full level of service." He said the homeless charity quickly adapted to delivery, explaining, "We couldn't just walk away and look after ourselves. People needed support before COVID-19, during COVID-19, and will continue to need support long after COVID-19. Mr. Fitzpatrick said, "Services were starting to respond, but there were still gaps in support," adding, "The Porch is fortunate that we had begun our COVID-19 planning back in January, and so began to order in items such as PPE and started planning for our new kind of service provision. In partnership with Oxford City Council, the porch is now providing a food drop-off point in Bond Square, opposite the Westgate Centre, and has been feeding 30 people every day. The charity is also supporting homeless Oxfordshire clients who live in supported housing by delivering meals to 27 clients a day, as well as Connections Floating Support by delivering meals to 32 clients. The porch also offers a takeaway to those needing daily exercise from the centre between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. and have been seeing upward of 50 people each day, with social distancing and extra hygiene measures used. Mr. Fitzpatrick said the charity's amazing volunteers have turned the cafe area in Magdalen Road into a mini production line, and that as well as food delivery, the charity team is ringing and seeing the majority of its members daily. He said, "This allows us to monitor mental health and give vital face-to-face interaction, something that is hugely beneficial to people's health." A dedicated JustGiving page to fund the porch's coronavirus response has already raised more than £10,000, and the centre director said the steps it was taking had placed a huge financial pressure onto the organisation. He added, "We'd like to say a huge thank you to everyone who has donated, given their time, offered their support, and even left a thank you card pinned to our front door. We have seen a massive outpouring of goodwill and support, and we have been humbled by this." The porch team decided early on that we'd work through this crisis, and we remain committed. But we wouldn't be able to do this without the support of the community. He said, "Even in these times of social distancing, the porch team has never felt as close to each other as it does now." Visit theporch.org.uk for more information and to donate. A new project that aims to challenge the spread of coronavirus misinformation within the Asian community was launched by a postgraduate student at Oxford University. The Brown Solidarity Initiative provides infographics translated into more than 20 languages, set up to address misinformation, reduce panic, and provide free, accessible, and accurate content for the South Asian community. The Oxford-based student Serene Singh spearheaded the initiative with her two friends Ravina Anand and Nandini Kochar. Despite living in three different parts of the world, the three women noticed one common issue. South Asian communities were not getting correct information about the pandemic. Ms. Singh explained, "Without first having accurate information in the language of a community, our world cannot address the myriad of issues related to the pandemic we are now seeing. COVID-19 does not discriminate, and as such, neither should access to information about it." One of their infographics addresses fake health advice about what foods supposedly cure the virus. It says the following do not cure COVID-19. Turmeric, ginger, breathing steamed water, honey, warm water, fennel flower, seeds, lemons. Let me just read that bit again. One of the infographics addresses fake health advice about what foods supposedly cure the virus. It says the following do not cure COVID-19. Turmeric, ginger, breathing steamed water, honey, warm water, fennel flower seeds, and lemons. To find out more about the initiative, visit brownsolidarity.com. Luxury tour buses, previously used by stars such as Ricky Gervais, Peter Kay, Will Smith, and Paul Weller, have been loaned to the NHS to accommodate frontline medical staff. Vans for Bands, based at Begbroke, has loaned its entire fleet of sleeper coaches to the NHS to house employees treating coronavirus patients. The buses can be parked outside hospitals, providing spaces for health workers to rest and take stock during their rest break or at the end of each shift. They are being used at the Royal Berkshire Hospital in Reading and Hillingdon, Whittington and Lewisham Hospitals in London. The buses are primarily used by artists and bands touring the UK and Europe and have also been used by rocker Alice Cooper and bands Elbow, Blossoms, Biffy Clyro, Primal Scream, Libertines, Massive Attack and Left Field. The company has offered them to any hospital in the UK that needs them for the duration of the current crisis. Bands for Bands are subsidising the project. Has a Just Giving page. justgiving.com/crowdfunding/vans-4-bands to cover the costs of keeping the fleet on site at the hospitals. Director Ed Thompson said, "The social gathering restrictions brought about by COVID-19 have completely decimated the live music industry, resulting in our entire fleet being off hire and returned to our yard. We are very happy to be able to offer our tour buses to NHS hospitals anywhere in the UK for the duration of the COVID-19 crisis as a place for doctors, nurses and support staff to take a rest or sleep at the end of or during their extended shifts. We feel it's only right that we all do everything we can to support our NHS." He added, "We did approach the John Radcliffe Hospital, but they do not have any requirement for a sleeper bus at the moment." Oxford's Tarrant Anderson is a business partner and plays with Frank Turner's band. The project is supported by musician Frank Turner and former doctor and comedy writer Adam Kay. Mr. Kay, author of This Is Going to Hurt, said, "In these bleak days, it's been truly heartwarming to see such an outpouring of love for the NHS. This is a wonderful example of a business stepping up to support frontline staff. I know so many doctors and nurses who have been struggling to find accommodation or somewhere to relax during their shift breaks, and this will make a huge difference." Mr. Turner, whose live band, The Sleeping Souls, includes very well-known Oxford artists Ben Lloyd, Nigel Powell and Tarrant Anderson, who is a partner in the Vans for Fans business, says, "I'm happy and proud to see my friends at Vans for Bands putting their fleet to good use in this trying time. I have spent years of my life sleeping on these buses all around the UK and Europe. Now they can be used to help the amazing frontline NHS staff during the crisis, who are working hard and taking risks for us all." A spokesperson for the Royal Berkshire Hospital NHS Foundation Trust said, "We have a number of options of accommodation for staff, and it's great to be able to add the buses to our offer. A huge thanks to Fans for Bands for stepping up with a unique solution that can be parked on site for staff to rest and relax in for a few hours or overnight." Huge wooden panelled buildings have gone up on a city centre road, marking the start of work on new student flats. The new student blocks are being built on St Cross Road and Jowett Walk. They are owned by Balliol College and are part of a large development in the area, first submitted for planning permission in 2016. Construction workers have been spotted walking through the huge wood panelled structure of the buildings being erected on St Cross Road, opposite the St Cross building. After having been approved in 2017, two buildings along St Cross Road were demolished, the Martin building and the Delal building. When the planning application was first submitted, the college said the work was needed partly because a sports pavilion on Mastersfield was old, and also because it wanted more of its own accommodation for students, as well as new teaching facilities. A master plan of its proposals, submitted to Oxford City Council in 2016, included a new pavilion with seating for 100 people. There was also an assembly hall with seating for 200 people, 8 accommodation blocks and 285 cycle parking spaces. A statement submitted with the application said, "Balliol College can only provide accommodation for 2/3 of its undergraduates. The college would like to house all its undergraduates for their time in Oxford in close proximity to teaching facilities and to modernise and increase its graduate and fellows' accommodation. Oxford City Council has been encouraging Oxford University's colleges to build more of its own student accommodation in recent years. In its local plan, the council has set limits for the number of students who can live outside of college-owned occupation. There is also a separate limit for Oxford Brookes University. The council hopes that by setting this limit, private rented accommodation will be freed up for non-students looking for somewhere to live in Oxford. Other colleges have similar plans in the pipeline. Pembroke College is redeveloping part of its Geoffrey Arthur building site along the Thames towpath near Grand Pont to make room for more graduate students. University College recently submitted a planning application for new student blocks at a site on Banbury Road. And St Peter's College hopes to build new student flats on the site of a former Conservative club on New Road near Oxford's Castle Mound. For more about the Balliol developments, search reference 16/03056/F/U/L at oxford.gov.uk/planning. With schools closed and children working from home, one brother and sister decided to write a poem to thank the NHS for their hard work. Rehan Yusuf, 10, and his sister Anya Yusuf, 8, attend St Gregory the Great Catholic Church in Cowley. And when they got an assignment to write a poem, they decided to dedicate their verses to the NHS. Siama Begum, mother of Rehan and Anya, said, "I just think it is such a beautiful gesture from my kids. They just thought out of the box. I think it was so good they came up with that idea, and it was so thoughtful in this hard time. I think some really strong and positive words from children would be very encouraging and appreciated by them." The siblings researched rhyming words and thought about the hard work of our frontline workers. Some of the lines from the poem include, "A place you share and provide so much care. You work day and night to make our lives shine bright." The siblings also wrote, "We thank you for your kindness and will never forget. Your passion is an inspiration to us all, and we appreciate. Thank you all. Words are not enough to express how grateful we are." One of Oxford's most visited attractions has a new purpose-built visitor centre designed by a heritage and conservation architect. The visitor centre at Christchurch is now home to a number of facilities for an estimated 400,000 visitors per year to enjoy. Designed by architects Purcell, the barn-style building, which sits discreetly in Christchurch Meadow, has a thatched roof, making it unique in the city. It houses a ticketing office, shop, visitor facilities, and a multi-purpose seminar space within, and, as an extension to, an historic barn. The thatched roof came with a number of design challenges, which were tackled during the design and planning process. Other challenges included the location within the historic park and gardens of Christchurch Meadow, the proximity of the Grade 1 listed buildings of Christchurch, Civil War archaeology below ground, and its location adjacent to the Oxford floodplain. Jane Kennedy, Purcell partner and foundation architect to Christchurch, said, "I am delighted that we have provided the foundation with beautiful and useful new buildings, and at the same time we'll be able to restore and reopen the medieval chapter house." Purcell designed the building to offer a better visitor and staff experience through more user-friendly access routes, improved ticketing systems, and purpose-built spaces to support an expanding education experience. As the second most ticketed attraction in Oxfordshire, after Blenheim Palace, a new ticketing arrangement within the building should reduce the queuing at peak season. The additional building has enabled the existing cathedral shop to be relocated from the Christ Church's 13th century chapter house, allowing the historic room to be restored for use more in keeping with its original purpose. The project has also delivered new facilities for the landscape team. Purcell's designs create a brand new agricultural style timber building situated within the Grade 1 listed landscape, with modern staff amenities, increased storage and welfare facilities for the team. Staff are responsible for looking after the green areas of Christchurch, which are included in the English Heritage Register of Historic Parks and Gardens of Special Historic Interest. James Laurie, Christchurch's treasurer, said, "Christchurch is delighted with the new visitor centre, the restored thatched barn and the upgraded compound. We have very much enjoyed working with Purcell on creating this sympathetic complement to our historic meadow." Christchurch has many notable buildings, including Tom Tower, designed by Christopher Wren, and the Great Hall, which inspired the dining hall in the Harry Potter films. Notable alumni of Christchurch include 13 Prime Ministers, 17 Archbishops, Lewis Carroll, W. H. Auden, Jan Morris, John Locke and Robert Hooke. Being cooped up during the coronavirus lockdown has given many a renewed appreciation of nature. Government figures show that before current restrictions began, Oxfordshire residents were even more outdoorsy than average. Data from Natural England shows that 67% of locals aged 16 or over spent time outdoors at least weekly. The median rate, the middle value of a range of figures, for council areas across England was 58%. The figures are based on a decade's worth of surveys from the Monitor of Engagement with the Natural Environment Report, the last of which was completed in 2018-19, and a final analysis published in March. Across England, the rate has risen over the 10-year period from 54% in 2009-10 to 65% in 2018-19. Paul Bunton from the Woodland Conservation Charity The Woodland Trust said, "We are pleased that the trend seems to show that people are spending more time in the outdoors. Albeit in the current crisis, they need to heed government advice and not travel to our woods at this time. We understand the many positives of visiting woods. They are wildlife havens, a way to distress, have an adventure and learn about their importance, for example, in tackling climate change. Where people do not have woodland on their doorstep, Mr. Bunton suggested going to the nearest park, adding that the charity had huge aims to increase tree cover and protect urban areas. He added, "All of this and our woodlands will be there to enjoy once the current national crisis abates." Craig Bennett, chief executive of the Wildlife Trusts, said people were turning to nature more than ever as the world faced health, climate and ecological emergencies. He said, "When the pandemic has passed, there is a battle to resume, to restore nature and to empower people to take action for the natural world. At the Wildlife Trusts, we have a pivotal role to play and have a clear understanding of the urgency." The group, a movement of 46 charities across the UK, wants at least a third of land and sea handed back to nature by 2030. A Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs spokeswoman said, "People should follow the government's guidance on using green spaces during the COVID-19 outbreak. These are: stay local and use open spaces near to your home where possible. Do not travel unnecessarily. Only go outside alone or with members of your own household. Keep at least 2 meters apart from anyone outside your household at all times. Take hygiene precautions when you are outside and wash your hands as soon as you are back indoors. If walking your dog in areas used by other people, keep them on a lead to ensure you can safely keep 2 meters away from others. Oxford City Council is replacing fewer homes than are sold through the government's Right to Buy scheme, figures suggest. Data from the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, or MHCLG, reveal that 32 council homes were privatised through Right to Buy in Oxford last year, 9 more than were sold in 2018. Councils are expected to replace Right to Buy homes on a 1-for-1 basis, but can only use 30% of the receipts from properties sold to cover the costs of replacements. In 2019, Oxford City Council acquired or began construction on 16 replacement homes for those sold previously. Different figures from MHCLG reveal that in 2019, 350 new homes in the area were started or completed by private companies. Right to Buy was implemented in 1980 by Margaret Thatcher's Conservative government with the goal of helping long-standing council house tenants buy their rented homes at a discount. Through the scheme, long-term tenants can knock £84,200 off the total price. A teenager helping keep the county fed in lockdown was stunned to discover someone stole the wheels of his bike while he was working a 9-hour shift. Finley Brown, 17, from Oxford, discovered his means of transport had been vandalised after finishing the punishing work shift at Marks and Spencer's in Summertown. The Charwell School pupil has been working at M&S both in the city centre and in Summertown for the past 8 months. Now, during the coronavirus lockdown, he has been designated a key worker, helping keeping the country going. On the day his bike wheels were stolen, he was working a 9-hour shift in M&S on Saturday, where he was continuously lifting and stacking products. At 10 p.m, he finished his shift, expecting to be able to cycle home. Instead, he found his bike frame still locked and attached to the bike rack, with both wheels gone. He described his bike as a new blue Trek hybrid that was just 3 weeks old. Finley said, "Working in retail is harder than ever during the pandemic. A combination of being short-staffed and customers requiring larger amounts of shopping than usual, this can create a sense of urgency and rush for retail workers. As an operations assistant, I can feel this pressure." Finley lives at home with his parents in Summertown and is fortunate enough to be able to use his dad's bike for transport. Now, more than ever, the teenager relies on his bike to get himself to work during lockdown. He explained that this is because both of his parents are over 60 and his mum is high risk, and as a result, both are self-isolating, leaving Finley to get the family food shop and essentials on his bike. Finley reported the theft to the police. He said, "I was on my shift, which was 2 to 10 p.m, and when I got back, both my tyres had been nicked. I was just standing there looking at it for a couple of minutes. You hear about it a lot, how people get bikes stolen, and you don't think it'll happen to you. I reported it to the police. I called 101, and it took a while to get through to an actual human. And then I told them what happened, and they said, 'Do not inquire into nearby CCTV cameras.'" Or they said that they do not inquire into nearby CCTV cameras, and that I would have to do that myself. "Even if I had CCTV footage, I would have to know the person's name, which obviously I am never going to find out. It's a crime that happens so much, and it's really annoying they get away with it. They will just carry on doing it, and there is nothing we can do, really. This is such a common crime in Oxford that it seems to me it's become decriminalised. He added, I had never used the police service, but now I can really understand what continuously cutting our police services does. Low Carbon Hub is an enterprise which tackles climate change in Oxfordshire, and it has now launched a survey for feedback. The Perception Survey 2020 aims to find out if Low Carbon Hub has managed to encourage energy efficiency, increase local energy generation, and champion community ownership across Oxfordshire. The data gathered from the survey will be used as a basis for the organisation's annual social impact report. As a result of feedback from last year's survey, Low Carbon Hub has been able to improve communications to investors and community groups. Previously, in 2017, when the first annual perception survey was launched, the feedback given helped Low Carbon Hub to improve and continue its mission of bringing a zero carbon energy system to life in Oxfordshire. The survey will be open until April the 30th, takes 5 minutes to complete, and is anonymous. As a bonus, when you complete the survey, you are entered into a draw to win a Fair Trade Low Carbon Hub hamper. If you are one of the first 50 people to complete the survey, you will also be entered twice into the hamper competition. The Climate Change Organisation is calling on investors, project partners, community members, or anyone else who's come across the work of Low Carbon Hub to complete the survey. To complete the Low Carbon Hub Perception Survey 2020 and to be entered into a competition to win a Fair Trade hamper, visit lowcarbonhub1.typeform.com/TO/BZ3FYJ. And finally, as if we didn't have enough to worry about, a snake measuring 5 feet in length is on the loose in an Oxfordshire town. The red-tailed boa constrictor has not been seen since Sunday evening in Bracken Close, Carterton. Its owner posted in the Spotted Whitney Facebook page to tell the public not to worry, as the snake is not harmful. That's it. That was the last of the stories in this first edition of Ox Talk in Lockdown. I do hope you found it interesting and useful. If you have any comments on this service, please contact us on 01865 862 873 or by email at mail@oxtalk.org.uk. My name is Simon. Best wishes to everyone. Please stay safe.